session number 17628, Mr. Joseph Clark, Reel 4.
Mr. Clark, Reel 4. At Ships in the Star, Mr. Clark, you told me that you were billeted in a butcher's, or above a butcher's shop. What was the accommodation situation?
Well, it was just one or two rooms, and sleeping on the floor. That's all we were doing, really.
So you're lying on the floor. How were you able to keep your uniform and your weapons and your equipment?
Well, you hang them up anywhere you could. We're just sleeping on a blanket, you know, and there wasn't any palliasses out like that, no. Just sleeping on the floor.
And this was winter time now.
Oh, aye.
Was there any heating, any way to keep warm?
No, there wasn't any heating. No. Just your blankets. No.
Washing facilities, what were they like?
Yes, we had to go down outside. There was like some ablutions out the back of the butcher shop, like a yard affair. We just have to go down there. It's cold water. Aye.
Toilets? How were they taken
for? Yes, the latrines and that, they were out built outside of the, you know.
And these were built for you?
Oh, yes. Aye.
Did you have regular medical inspections?
regular, yes. Oh, yes.
What form did they take?
Just, you know, you just used to strip off and the MO used to ask if you were any problems or out like that, you know. All right. They were carried out in... We used to use the church hall for many things, and anything like that was done in a place like that.
If you became ill, what was the process?
Oh, well, you reported sick to the... Every morning there was a sick parade, and if anyone was ill, they reported to the orderly corporal or sergeant, and you were taken to the MO, the... Medical, in the force we call it the Regimental Aid Post, the RAP, but it was a lot more like a medical, the MO used to go around different companies and what have you, you know, and a certain time you reported there and the orderly corporal took you there, and if you were sent on to a hospital, well of course the MO used to do it from there. There was a sick parade every day if anyone was ill. All the time I was in the army there was.
Was there a usual kind of medication that the doctor gave out to cover a multitude of cases?
Aye, there was. Number nines. You got aspirins in number nine. I believe they were cascara anyway. More or less to keep you going to the toilet. He had a little box. Various tablets, but the lads all used to call them number nines. And I think in this box, you know, these different tablets and that was numbers to the doctor. But everybody used to say it was a number nine. And I used to think it was cascara. So it was a common word, that number nine.
Did you have free from infection inspections? Just a quick check to see that you weren't infected in any way?
Well, yes. Well, it was more or less to see if you... What would I say? Mostly around your private parts and so on, I would think. But we did have regular inspections.
Was there any problem with catching VD and that kind of thing when you were down in the south of England?
Well, Midland, I never heard of it, not then. We were taught about it, never heard of it.
What kind of things did they, how did they teach you to keep clear of it? Did you have films, for example?
No. If the MO, if you report the MO, he would send you to the Field General Hospital. It was like the Field General Hospital, you know, before you went further on to the General Hospital. They would send you there to get examined by a doctor.
It was part of the precautions against VD, some lectures. Did you get lectures?
Well, they were just normal type of talking, you know. No, I never come across it, really. Not in that area, no. I never knew anybody had it.
What was the food like?
Just basic. First thing in the morning, about 6 o'clock, they used to bring it, well, it was in one of these enamel buckets, full of tea, you know. You got up and got your pot of tea and that was it. And then about 7 o'clock you went up to this hall, as I call it. I think it was a church hall, really. And we used to go up there and it was all, that's where the cookhouse was. So that you all went to one place. They didn't carry it to you. You marched up there and lined up for your breakfast, dinner or tea, whatever. If you were going on a route march, you took a haversack ration, you know.
And was it the usual kind of food you had been getting?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think the army they kept you going on basic food.
Mm-hmm. Was the tea laced with anything? Did they put anything in the tea?
Well, not to my knowledge, but they used to say they used to put in...
Bromide or something?
Bromide. That was it, yeah. They used to say that, but I never knew that, mine. But we were aware of it. It could be in there. I never heard that talked about.
National Service after the war, when I was in, they still talk about bromide in your tea.
Do they? Aye.
Did you have your own company cooks? Did you eat by company?
Yes. Oh, yes. There was a cook sergeant and then a corporal and, what would you call them? One or two lads. Dining room orderly type of thing. Yeah.
Were they trained cooks or had they just been selected to do the job?
Well, the sergeant, he'd been away to an army catering corps. They were trained there. And he was, the officer, whoever was the orderly, the officer used to keep a good watch on him. Oh, they weren't too bad. They weren't too bad.
What were you doing down there?
Just normal training. Field training. Route marching. That's about all we did down there. In fact, when we used to train with a Bren gun and that, we used to go up into this church hall. Especially if the, of course it was January. We used to go up there and do the training. You couldn't do it in the billet because there was only rooms above a butcher shop. Of course, the other platoons were in other houses that had been commandeered, taken over, probably empty houses or empty space, you know. The officers were in the Bell Hotel, which was in the village. Wasn't too far away.
Did you ever feel resentful that you had these rather harsh conditions and the officers had the warmth of a hotel?
Well, they used to pass remarks like they were all right, but nothing you could do about it. No.
They just accepted it?
Yes, they got their, in this particular village, they got their meals supplied by the hotel. But I believe they were only given the amount of rations for the number of officers that was in the hotel. They didn't have the freedom. I think the hotel was supplied with, if there was 10 officers, they were supplied with 10 rations. And that was cooked for them, though. That was the better part of it.
The 50th Division was supposed to be a motorised division at this time.
It was.
Did you do a lot of training with wagons and trucks?
Well, we did more in France. Not so much in this country. Not in my time. Trouble was, things were so... I mean, it was getting on towards the, when they were talking about going across there. And
what was the vehicle situation? Did you have sufficient army vehicles, or had you to requisition?
Each company had its own wagons, but when we had to move about in transport, the RASC used to take us. It was organised that they come in, pick you up, and take you away. In troop carriers. But you did have your own, I'm not sure whether it was one or two trucks. You had a mechanic, a corporal. But they belonged, actually they belonged the transport at headquarters, but they were seconded out to the companies. And you had your own driver and what have you. Yeah, but if there was a big move on, it had to be the RSC used to take you in troop carriers.
Were you trained to get on and off at speed?
Yeah, we were. We were.
What was the training? What was the drill?
There must have been advanced transport people out, more like the Red Caps used to control the traffic. But when you come to a getting off point, there was someone at the back of the truck used to detailed off, take the pins out, let the tailboard down, and then when you come to a stop, they jumped out and held the tailboard so it wasn't flapping, and then the lads just jumped out. That was the way it was done. But you hadn't to jump out before that tailboard. Before they had a hold of it, otherwise you clobbered.
And getting on would be the reverse.
Yeah, yeah.
How many would you remember or think you got on the truck? Would it take the whole platoon?
Oh, no. No. No, it wouldn't take that. See, the company used to move up all together. See, when you were on a big move like that.
Once you got off the truck, were you then to deploy into a situation?
Deployed, yes. Mm-hmm. It's when your platoon officer took over with you, and then whatever the scheme was, well, you were on your way.
Did you have Bren Gun carriers?
Yes. But they were based at headquarters. They were at a place called Kitebrook. It'd be about, it was a few miles away, not very far. And some of the lads was at a place called, other companies. I think it was Long Compton, Little Compton, I think. We used to march all around there. Mostly you were in the, it was near the Vale of Evesham. Where we were training around there.
We mentioned that you had rifles and Bren guns.
Mm.
Did you have any other weapons, company weapons?
Well, at that time, I don't think we had, but the 2-inch mortar came into being. I'm not so sure when we got that. We did have the 2-inch mortar.
What was it like as a weapon?
Well, it was all right, but you had a section that were detailed off for that, more or less trying to make them specialist in it, you know. But a lot of them, those things, you know, they came from headquarters, controlled from headquarters, and if you needed a 2-inch mortar, or it was up the officer to get one, he would phone in for a one, and have them on hand.
Did they fire high explosive and smoke?
I'm not so sure, because I never got involved in them. They say they were 2-inch mortars. I know that. So they wouldn't be exceptionally big, you know.
You said you did a lot of route marches.
Lots of them.
The country. Now, this is the middle of winter. Was that making it difficult at all for you?
No, not really. No, no.
Were you training in the snow, etc.?
Yes, aye. There was lots of schemes around, you know. But more or less, even in the winter, they used to do cross-country runs. Even in the snow, and you still just had your PT kit on. Maybe do 3 or 4 miles around the place.
Was the training you were doing more and more applicable to an action situation?
I would think so.
Did that include fire and movement and this kind of thing?
Well, even then, you still did your odd times, you know. You would go to a firing range of some sort and do that.
Learning to attack as a rifleman in a section and platoon, how were they teaching you that?
Well, you'd be extended out, you know, if you were going to have a movement. You'd be extended out in the line. I mean, you had your platoon commander, and he had his platoon headquarters. Well, there was the officer and the sergeant and one or two others. But they used to go across in what we called extended line.
Where would platoon headquarters with the officer be in relation to the line?
Be in the middle. I guess he would be in the middle to control them.
Did you move just as one platoon, or was it a section supported by a section firing, or how was it done?
It all depends. You had your section commander as well. You could be in 3 sections.
Did they teach you how to attack buildings and take buildings at this stage?
No. No.
It was basically open country.
Open country, and if you're coming to a village or something, you know. No, I don't think we were that far advanced at that stage.
Still bayonet training?
Still did some of that, eh? Mm-hmm.
You would have, now as a battalion soldier, you were attached to a battalion, you obviously have duties of one kind or another to do. Can you take me through some of the duties you had?
Well, of course, you had fire duties. You never left the building alone. There was always somebody there, and then you had guard duties.
Guard duty? How did you prepare for a guard duty?
Well, you detailed off, you know at least a day beforehand, maybe longer. You detailed off, and you even knew who the guard commander was. It was generally 6. It all depends what the action you were taking. You used to put a guard on the door of your building or billet, things like that, you know. And, of course, you had your, at that time, you had your lights out, you know, and then you had to see, the blackout was enforced then, all that sort of thing. You had your guards, and you may have one or two patrolling around the area, seeing if everything was all right. you had guards going around, if you had your transport, like you mentioned, someone on guard duty there watching them. You detailed you to about 2 on 4 off.
Company headquarters, was that protected?
Oh yes, they were all guarded. Yeah, you could be in a platoon and you say, right, you're at the company headquarters tonight, you know.
Preparation, it was a high standard of turnout?
Oh yes. Oh, you were inspected. Mm-hmm. And then you were marched there and you were put on guard and you relieved the ones that were already on. You weren't allowed to leave your guard unless you were relieved by others. Of course, you knew when you were getting changed over. And that was the guard commander's job, to see that you were changed over properly.
Was there anything like the smartest man becoming stick man because he happened to be the smartest of the six or whatever the number was?
Well, not really. Not at that stage, no.
That would presumably be more in big barracks and places like that.
I would think so. I'd heard of that stick man, right? Being the best turned out. I'd heard of it.
Did you have the more mundane duties like peeling potatoes?
Dining room orderly. Oh, you're on fatigues. Oh, you got your turn at that. Plenty of it. That was where the cook got his extra help, you see, and then after a meal, of course, you had to wash the crazy dishes up. But the cook used to provide the hot water there because he used to use the containers. That was the only way we got at this particular place.
I should have asked you how long a guard duty would last.
24 hours. 2 on, 4 off. And you would do maybe 4 tours. Well, it lasted. We used to go on about 6 o'clock at night. And the guard changed about 6 o'clock the next night.
Did you get the next day off?
No.
Can we look at discipline for a few moments? If anyone did anything wrong that meant a discipline issue came in, what kind of punishments might they get?
Well, he was put on a charge to start with. We used to call it the 252. That was the charge form. And then he was taken in front of the platoon commander first, and if it was a serious one, he was the platoon commander wouldn't give a decision because he probably wasn't authorized to give a decision on that particular incident. So you went in front of the company commander then, which was the captain. In our case, it was Captain Wood, and if he couldn't deal with it, then you sent up in front of the commanding officer, which was at HQ. In our case, it was Colonel Percy at that time. There was others, but it was Colonel Percy. And if he couldn't deal with it, then you went on an FGCM, which was a Field General Court Martial. And court martial was, there would be a chairman or a president. There was a president and there was a defending officer and a prosecuting officer. And strangely enough, there was always officers that were solicitors in the forces. And one would be defending and the other would be prosecuting. And the chairman was neutral. He could be from another battalion. And I remember knowing that if a soldier was put on a charge like that and he happened to go in front of this panel, this committee, and he knew an officer might be prejudiced against him, he could object to it. I never knew what happened, mind, but he could. according to the army rule. He could. An officer, he might have an officer that was, say he had something in for him. And he might think he's going to get prejudiced. So he could object to it. But there was always solicitors. I mean, in our lot, we had a Major Jackson who was, later on in the war, he lost his arm. He was a solicitor with Swinburne and Jackson in Durham. Then we had John Stoker. I learned later on he became, after the war was over, he became town clerk at Wall's End. There was always solicitors. Of course, they were always made officers.
Did you have any experience of court martial or?
Not really. We did have a sergeant went on, but if a sergeant or a corporal was put on a charge and he was waiting for a court martial, he had to have a guard with him all the time of his own rank. If a sergeant was going on a court martial, and he was allowed to walk about. He had to have a man with him all the time of his own rank. This was an NCO, mind.
The sergeant that you said, do you remember his case?
Not really, no. No. You never used to get to know too much in our day, man. Not like they are today. I mean, they seem to be well up to date. There's lots of things went on that we never knew what was going to happen or did happen. One day he might come along and say, oh, so-and-so is missing. And they say, oh, he's on a charge. But that was as far as it went.
For the smaller cases of ill discipline, confined to barracks, that kind of thing, what might a person have done to warrant that?
Well, instead of being out, if he had a pass and he was out after absent without leave, they used to call it, AWOL. He might be out, if he was due to be in at 10 o'clock and he come in 10:30, well, that was it. He was put on a charge for it, if he got caught.
And that might be confined to barracks or whatever they were then.
Oh, I see. CB.
And what would the person be doing as part of his punishment?
Well, he could be like what you say. He could be in the cookhouse. Things like that. Sometimes I remember at one place there were some lads put on CB. They were out. They'd been coming singing through the village, and a major had happened to be around, and he had them put on charge for creating a noise, you know, at the people, civilians. And they had to report to the guard commander every hour. They couldn't go out. That's CB, but they had to report to the guard commander every hour, so they knew the ones on the scrounge.
As part of that reporting, did they have to have their uniforms cleaned and ready for each
game? Oh, you had to be dressed. Oh, yes. There was always somebody getting CB. Always. In fact, you didn't seem to think that it was a big crime, really, because some of them were trivial things.
Were there any punishments which were particularly harsh, like running round an area with full pack and rifle over your head, this kind of severe?
No, I never saw that. But the only time that I think was when we first joined at Fenham Barracks. We didn't realise what it was then, because we were still civilians. But I'm sure it happened. Yes. Not at this particular place, not here, not in Shipston.